Aleluya. Yeah. So they are very nice. Where is song coming from? From outside? Oh, okay, there is a progress. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Alright. How many married people are here? Can I see your hand? I want to talk about something very crucial about marriage and praise the Lord. The question is, why did you marry me? If you are sitting up by your wife, you can actually ask her, why did you marry me? if you are married to the person by your side, let me ask that question. Say, why did you marry me? Marriage. Have you ever asked yourself that question before? Why did you marry me? Have you ever asked your spouse? If you haven't, this is a very good time to one more time ask the person by your side. Say, why did you marry me? And for our 10 seconds, try and get an answer or some answers to that question. So why did you marry me? Is your neighbor answering? Amen. Love it. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Alright. I want to read something here. I read it in a book and it said that the cost of an average wedding is about $20,000. How much is that in Naira? With the rise of Naira. Amen. Now, this is a very important thing. They said the first marriage, that's American statistics, that we end up in a divorce is about 50%. And second marriage, when people divorce and they remarry, it goes higher, 67%. Now, the third one, when people move from second marriage to third marriage, there is 74% likelihood that they will divorce again. Now, it goes to say that actually, the first marriage is still the best. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this is very interesting. It says that miserable marriage, that is a marriage especially a very, very turbulent period, and they decided to stay together notwithstanding for 5 more years. After 5 years, they found out that 84% of those marriages were healed and the people became happy. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And that got my attention. Marriages struggling. In fact, the word, guy used the word because they did statistics in America. We don't have statistics in Nigeria. God will help our nation. But over there, they decided to study. Maybe they took about 1,000 people who had serious issues in their marriage, but decided to stay on a little longer, and they found out that after 5 years, 84% found joy and happiness. There is something about not considering an option of opting out of a marriage. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I won't say that, let's start this morning, that's just a statistic. You know, sometimes you see people and they are like what you call a tip of the iceberg. Because I would like to start this way, that when you say, why did you marry me, I would like to put that as the second question. The first question I would like us to consider is that, who are you married to and how much of the person do you know? Because that will help you in unraveling some things. You cannot really fully understand why you are in a marriage without first of all trying to look at, who are you in marriage with? That knowledge will help a great deal. You have to know who you are married to. And you see, when you look at people, especially when you are beginning to date and planning to marry, all you see is what they call a tip of the iceberg. You see people at surface level, you see people at a level, but there are many things below that you are not seeing. Amen. Some of these icebergs that you see a tip of it by above the water are as big, some of them are as big as mountains. And then the little is seen. Now, when there is a dry season and the water goes down, you are likely to see more. You see, it is hard for people to understand this, that no matter how well you think you know the person you are married to, you don't know much until you are in it together, and then revelations will start coming. Now, there can be positive revelations, and there can be negative revelations, and there can be both. Amen. Some of those who are married, they have been seeing visions and revelations. I hope the revelations you are seeing are good ones. Amen. That's what the Bible said when Peter was talking. He said that men that should dwell with women with understanding that they are weaker vessels. Now, pick that word with understanding. It means that the Bible expects you to an extent to have an understanding of the person that you are married to. You have to be able to analyze some things. You have to be able to understand the person's background, the person's the personality, and who the person is. Now, I you know, many times when people are married, a Christian to a Christian, we usually assume that some of these things are not there. Now, the sincere truth is this, and if I have the time to get there, we are going to look at some different types of people that you are going to meet, and I'm assuming that I'm talking mostly to Christians, so I'm going to talk about different types of people that you meet, even in the church. So, the knowledge will help you to be able to discern the person very well. Now, there are usually, I would love to say this when I talk to men, really. Now, there are about four types that I found out. In counseling and in talking to people, I've discovered some things. Now, there are men or women also. So, in marriage, there are people that you categorize as group one. They are people who prize marriage above all else. To them, marriage comes first before any other thing. Now, that is a category. There's another group of people. Marriage is like number two. It is important to them, but it is not the most important. There is always something that comes first. It can be the family. Now, this second category will not waste time in actually substituting the loyalty to their wife or to their husband for that of the family should there be a challenge. And when the person is asking somebody else and you are dating and all these things you don't fully understand, that this man is more into the family. Some is the job. It's more into his career. If there is a clash, it goes for this one, not the marriage. That's category number two. Now, for that category, if nothing goes wrong, if there is no clash between the marriage and that thing, marriage is okay. But once there is a clash, that is when you begin to hear of husbands who love their mother and their in-laws more than the wife. And that when they stand against the wife, it joins them in standing against the woman. When I teach like that, I usually say that once you are married, nothing is wrong, nothing is right, you're already married. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because all these things should have been discovered before marriage. So, there are some people, that is the background is coming from. The allegiance is so strong when it comes to family. Some is the career, is the job. It can travel anywhere and bone family. If something shows up that he likes and he loves to do. Now you have the third category. Those ones, they love marriage a little. Just a little. Marriage to them is a necessity that is not exactly compulsory or not a serious matter. In fact, they wonder why you attach so much to it. Now, I hope we get there to analyze the behavioral pattern of the people that you find in each category. I said a little about the second one. Usually, when there's a clash, they go this way. Now, this third one, there are many things on their mind, and there are many things. To them, they love marriage, but not really deeply like that. It's just there. They get to a point where they are 30, and they feel that everybody's getting married, so I should get married also. And they are married. But the understanding of what marriage is not really there, and the depth, you know, marriage requires 100% commitment. They don't have that commitment. They just believe that all my friends are married, I should be married as well. That's another category. And there's the fourth one. That's the most terrible. There's no marriage at all. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I think I was just talking to an agent recently, and as we were talking, a lady passed by and was whistling, trying to call her. And they were both married and they were talking. And he said, why is she bragging? She's running after some boys that are not married. I've been telling her that let a married man take care of you. Now, there are those, they womanize and they know it's wrong. I'm going somewhere. There are those who do it and it's not wrong. To them, you are married. The woman is there. But that doesn't stop anything. Amen. That is
a very now usually that can be an accidental husband or wife. Under circumstances, and we get there in a while, I also talk about what to marry for. But just understand that you have these patterns and you have these different types of people. And the first thing you need to find out when you are married is that which type are you married to? Praise the Lord. Because there will be moments when the wind will blow. There will be moments when the storm will come. It is the house. It's not about the wind. It's not about the storm. It's about on what is the house built upon. And many times, when people are... So, remember, the last meeting we had, I actually explained that there are seven phases, which I read from one professor in America that tried to break marriage into seven phases. And I'll go over that quickly, and then we come back to the type of man or the type of woman. He said that phase one, how many of you remember about August I said that phase one, as soon as you get married, is what you call passion stage. And that is where romance is highly placed, they're highly ranked, and that is what, passion, at that moment, your eyes are sort of close to the mistakes of the other person, except you are extremely wise. Now, this passion stage starts from the days of courtship. When you meet somebody, and I've discovered that especially, later I will talk about also that the four reasons, or now they actually fluctuate, but majorly there are four reasons why people marry. It can be based on appearance, it can be based on circumstances, it can be based on conviction and personality. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the fourth one, you can also marry based on possession. That is material possession. Now, in all, the one that will last is the one that is based on conviction. And towards the end, I want to really dwell on that. But I'm picking things in bits and pieces that actually I can fuse the whole thing together. Now, ultimately, that is the most important. When it is based on conviction and it's based on you are dealing with a person, not what is around the person or how the person look like. A marriage that is based on appearance might do well at the first phase when there is passion. At the passion level, everything is fine. Because you love her breast, you love her look, love her appearance, she's beautiful, she has a figure that you like, and it's okay. But you see, as soon as... Now, it also depends on the two individuals involved. Some people, the passion ends even before the marriage, at courtship level. For some, it takes a year of living together. Now, when people have been sleeping together before marriage, it's very easy for passion to fade off after a while. But generally speaking, let for the sake of marriage, look at once people are married, some 1 year, some 6 months, it's common. The passion goes away from men first. Or if you draw statistics, it's more common to hear that a man now desiring something new than a woman. Because the way men are wired up is different from the way women are wired up. So it's possible that if he has chosen her because of the way she looks, after being in bed with her for quite a number of times, they've done all sorts during the honeymoon stage and everything, and now that phase is ending. He's beginning to demand for something more, or the man's heart can begin to love for something different. I won't do that tonight. We are going to talk about when a man begins to long for something new, what should he do? Because it will happen to most men. It will happen to most men. I was speaking to students in university, but then one guy raised his hand and he said that sleeping with the same woman every day after 20, 10, 15, 20 years, won't I get tired? He said, if you're eating rice every day, you want to eat another thing. He said, so what do I do? What I just said now, most women will not understand, but most men will understand. Amen. I don't want to put anybody else, but if I ask all men now, that have you felt like something outside your wife? Those who are honest will say yes. Those who are spiritual will say no. Amen. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Now, it takes discipline to just make up your mind not to go that way. A man called me and was telling me that, he said, you have to help me. He said, this is getting very serious. That no matter how much sex I have with my wife, once I step out of the house, I just want to taste something new. And he said, you know what? It's a tall shot. So he said, these girls just keep coming. And they keep coming. And at times he will start counseling them, you know, in his office. They know it to be a Christian. He said, but let's tell the honest truth. He uses counseling to push them back. But then they come back to tell that that was a wonderful counsel. I love you, guy. And the whole thing gets deeper. And he said, my God, I need help. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, at that first stage, once it's based on appearance, all I'm saying is that appearance will end quickly. And if you think a man is in love with you because of how you look, it is likely that this passion stage will go in no time. Now, for most marriages, once that ends, you enter the second phase, which you call a reality stage. And it is at that moment that people begin to stagger. Now, once, you know, you don't really know that she's naughty now and saucy. You don't really know that she's very stubborn now. You don't really know that it's greedy and that it talks anyhow. You don't really know that it's dirty. The moment passion fades off, reality will set. You can now see the person for who he is or who she is. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Those who have been married for 2 or 3 years, I'm sure they understand what I'm saying. And I'm going to talk about the remedy, but you'll get to that phase will follow. And this can be where people will miss each other totally. Now, Africans are not less guilty than Europeans. The rate of divorce is higher over there because they are more honest and blunt there. Here we consider family. We consider friends. So make no mistake about it. It's not that we are better. It is because we are more concerned about what people will say. That is why we don't divorce as much as those guys here. But over there, they don't send their family. So over there, their families don't come to their house. A man sees a woman in the morning, in the afternoon, they go to a nearby court and they are joined together. You've seen it in films. Let's go and marry. And they go. They don't get there and then they join them together. So the same way, let's divorce. Okay? And then they go, they separate them. It's very easy. But here, you report to in-laws. No, there. Before people break up here, there are reports. Then this one will come and say, "Wale, Mama Shebaye." They start talking. And when they talk, they keep the marriage again. But you see, when things go wrong fundamentally, except God, it's difficult for the marriage to recover. There are many African parents, they just live together. The love has disappeared a long time ago. And they're going to understand what we are saying. When people are just merely cohabiting, love is no more there, no passion, no spark, no nothing. They just live together for the sake of their children, or so that nobody will say that they have divorced. And there are many marriages in Nigeria that are in that category. Praise the Lord. If it's for material possession, which is the second group, that a person has chosen somebody for, you know, while we are looking at this, it should be something we discuss with those who are about to get married. But you see, for those who are married, if you don't have an understanding of where the problem is coming from, you will not be able to solve it. These are the things that we carry from courtship into marriage. Some are there. They met the man. This is common from lady to man, but nowadays some men do it also. If a man is in your life because of what you have, or a woman is in your life because of what you have, also, when you pass the passion stage, at the level of reality, you start discovering, and it can be a very, very painful discovery. That the reason why this person is there is that this person is using it to satisfy a need. And that is terrible. That is when choices are made based on possession. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, circumstances, that is common. It is more highly pronounced among the semi-literate people and illiterate, but it happens among great people also, or intellectual people. It is when somebody is in a situation. I've seen a guy dating a girl, just playing around, and then she's pregnant. He does not exactly love or want to marry her, but the pregnancy has made him to decide to marry. It's a kind of marriage under circumstances. It might not really, really be real marriage. As soon as they are together, the guy knows that this is not who I want. I impregnated and the whole family said I must marry, and that's why. Or certain people, when they are going through a very tough moment, a woman comes to, when a guy is broken, he has lost his job, and things are upside down, and his heart is soft, is feeling very bad. And a woman comes close to be counseling him every day. Around him every day. Always there every day. Now, from all this, when you talk about his preferences and tastes, this is not the kind of person he wants. But circumstances, she's always the one there, trying to help him to recover from his depression, whatever, can make them start a relationship. Now, as soon as that's, now, the relationship will last if the situation will remain forever. Are you with me? Once the situation reverts and there is healing, he will go for his original preference. Or if he's at work and he meets the kind of lady he has always dreamt of, and he knows that you are not, or she meets the kind of, it's also possible for a woman to experience a broken relationship that has so much effect on her that now she's contemplating suicide. A guy can get close very at that time and be helping her not to go that way, and then she can begin to develop an attraction for the person, even though the guy is not the type of guy she would have married on a good day. Once she's okay and she gets over that depression, the first thing that will happen is that it's like eating the forbidden fruit, then your heart shall be open. Then she's asking herself, what? He's walking around there, she's looking at him now. Lord, where did I go wrong? What's this? Amen. A man was telling my brother, our firstborn, they went to his house and they noticed that he was always reluctant introducing his wife to all his friends. Most of his friends did not know his wife. He kept her. There were meetings. When people start doing that, start suspecting something. There were so many meetings that he came for, he never came with his wife. When a man is ashamed of going out with his wife, something is wrong. Every program they went for, he never came with the woman. One day they went to his house and they said that, we need to, who is your wife? And he was like, okay. And before he introduced the woman to them, he sat them down and gave them a brief introduction. You know what he said? He said, actually, you know me in school. I wasn't supposed to marry to that kind of person. He said, but some things happened. Now, he was partly being honest. At the same time, he felt that the woman I'm about to call out will be a disappointment to my friends. So I must explain to them before calling her out, so that when they see her with understanding, they will not react. So he started laying the story down one after the other, that you see that something happened actually. And he was right that the girl was just their neighbor's daughter while growing up, and they had a moment where he lost everything and he was at home, and then the parents were not there, but they traveled and he was the only one in the house, and they wasn't going there, he was just frustrated. And for some reason, he got to know that something was happening to him, started coming to see him from time to time, and then they had sex when she got pregnant, and then he had to marry her and everything. So, and that's the story. So I haven't told the story. He now went to the room and called out. And sincerely, my brother said, when they saw the lady, they understood his parable. No match. Really. And we'll get to, what should people like that do? Obviously, in that state, there's no marriage. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is this level of reality that things begin to show up. Now, beyond that level, now, it is possible for all these things to be playing out itself. Somebody might be in love, the passion might still be there. At the same time, reality is setting in also, and they are playing, those things are happening simultaneously. Now, the third level is what they call rebellion. You can choose other words, or these are names just to identify what goes on there. And that is when the old dreams comes back. I think I wrote about that on Facebook. A guy might have always wanted to study abroad. It has happened to somebody before, and now he's married. His dream is that I want to be a PhD holder, I want to study. But then after graduating from school, they are married and at a level. Now he's telling the wife that I need to travel out to complete my master's and to do what I've always wanted to do. And the wife is saying that, are you going to leave the family? So it becomes a point of tension. Are you going to travel out to pursue your dream at the expense of the family? Or are we supposed to be together as a family? And at that point, the major thing at that point is that an individual is trying to exert his or her own influence over the marriage, that this is the way I want to go, and you better pack the marriage and follow me that way. It can be the woman. Woman say that, I don't want it. The man says, it's time to have a baby. She said, I don't want a baby now. If I have a baby, it's going to affect my work, so no baby for now. When you counsel people, these are the things that you see, and these are the issues coming to the surface and creating problems. And the rebellious, it's as if the two people want to go different ways. They are in the marriage, but different directions, different things are pulling them. The guy feels like, I'm not earning enough in Lagos. I'm going to Abuja. She says that Abuja is not bad. All the girl's friends are calling her. I remember a man and woman that I spoke to. They should be in their 40s. Very wonderful people. But they separated. By the time I was with her, they are separated for years. And what caused separation? She once acted a film on TV. And after a while, she was in Unilag. She backed from acting for a while. And then that was when she met this man. And along the line, no, she was trying to do business. But she went to where the alumni one day. And she saw friends who had continued acting. And they were doing fine. And they knew she was better than them. So they started telling her again that there's going to be an auditioning. And she got to Mandela and said, you are not going into acting. I'm not going to allow my wife to sit down on the bed with another man. And all those things started like that. And it paid her. The night, that conversation that night ended their marriage. But the remarriage ended like 5 years after. Because the man said an emphatic no. And the girl started saying, you know, she told, at times she'll be watching TV. She will see some people that she taught how to act. They are now the stars. And she will break down into tears. And the husband kept saying that, no way. And a few times, some of those people will send SMS to her. Where are you? Hey, Teku Benson is in town. Come and meet him. We'll give you a role. And the husband will say no. And the day she went out, he locked up before she came back. Now to her dream is to be an actress. But she's married to a man that will not fly with. That's a level of rebellion. Now that is creating serious tension. Now for some it's academic. The woman wants to study more. The man wants a wife at home. But the woman loves to work. She resumes 7 a.m. She comes back 9:30 p.m. And it's creating, I remember a woman that said that, the day this man talks to me again that I should resign, that marriage will end. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Everybody say rebellion. If this has happened to you, don't see the other person as a rebel. On your way home, don't say, you see, you're a rebel. Did you hear that? We are going to, but this shows a lot. Hallelujah. It can also, it has to do with interest and lives. It can also happen, this rebellion can be fueled by family. Somebody's allegiance can be this way, and then this one is saying that this way. Different things. It can even show in relatives coming to live. She does not want any relative to live with them. He feels that, I want everybody, if I'm cousin, nephew, niece, which one again? All of them are living in my house. Because I'm the breadwinner of the entire extended tribal and communal, which one again? Everybody is the one. You know, it happens when one guy is the only successful person in the whole family. And all of a sudden, they are bringing all the younger ones to come and stay with him. And the wife, especially the younger ones, don't recognize that there's a woman in the house. They feel like it is our brother's house. You know, there are many nonsense that we do in Africa, and it grieves me when I see the way people tolerate all these things. Almost, it should be about 5 or 6 cases now that I've seen, that men who walked away from their family, maybe when the children were like 5, 4, 6, and never looked back for 20 something years, all of a sudden the girl wants to marry now, the guy, and they decided to involve the family. So they went to him and they told him about the wedding, and aggro will just come back. There was one that the man said, he told the daughter, I will attend your wedding on one condition. Your mother must not attend. The mother that took care of them for 20 something years, when he walked away and he never looked back, he didn't know they went to secondary school. He didn't know how to wait. You know, honestly speaking, it is good at times to leave a slave as a slave. And some people behave like beasts. For 20-something years, you did not contribute a dime to them going to secondary school, university. They decided to honor you as Christian. They came to kneel down to you. They had to look for the man's address when he wanted to get married. And they came. And the first thing, they dragged you and they sat down. 21 years ago, your mom did this. I don't want to see her at the wedding. I told the guy, I said, there are ways a pastor should not talk. But I will talk. I said, that man has no business attending your wedding. I asked her, so what are you going to do? Look, if it doesn't affect you, attend a wedding, nothing might happen to you, nothing will happen to you. But if you block your mom, the same mom that was there for 20 years, because you want to please the man, you don't want to tell your mom not to attend your wedding. If your mom prays, there is nobody that can deliver you. And that one is a serious bondage you are walking into. Where was the man? I mean, if he doesn't want to come, let him stay. You're already used to him not being your father, so he should go. You know, it's actually when you try to honor some people. You know, it happens a lot. The man will die, some relatives will show up from nowhere. They want to claim the man's property. And they start, and these are the people that you will never see in your mental need. Those of you that go to village to collect lists, there's nothing wrong, though. But make sure those who are writing the list are eligible. The people that when you went to greet, they gave you school fees. When you went to get everything, they gave you. But if one person you've never known is now telling the one that will marry you to buy elephants and all those things, and when you come and see the list, I'll be like, sir, which one? Which one is your own? You were never part of anything. I don't know why people tolerate all this. It's not a myth to do that. You are not wicked, you are not rude. You have been firm and been honest. If a person should not be part of it, they should not be part of it. That's all. In Africa, we are very sentimental. Oh, you know, it's okay. Honor is important. But when you are trying to honor a man and he's trying to get you to dishonor somebody who has done the right thing, then that cannot be honor again. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you have these two stages are extremely important. Once people cross these two stages, and they enter what you call union stage and cooperation stage. Cooperation is when it's a kind of partnership, sending children to university together, raising kids together and all those things. It's always follow when you are able to survive effectively the second and the third. It's as if once you cross that third, the marriage is, the seventh stage is completion. It's as if it's almost inevitable that the marriage will get to completion stage. Once you pass passion and you move to reality and you move to rebellion, and then the next thing is cooperation, followed by union or reunion. That's when the kids are no more around, just the two of you. Now, there is the sixth one, which I don't believe should happen to Christians. They call it explosion stage, and that is where somebody can be sick. I remember young Klinsmann, one of the wonderful coaches in the world, who let his coaching a German team also then, because his wife was sick, and he said, I must stay with her. So he stopped working. That is genuine love. Explosion is what people do. What do you do? The man you've always known has been on top at all times. Now he's crash landing. Nothing again. Nothing. There is a man that was commanding weight, a weighty man in business. And now he has nothing again. And now they are selling all the properties. And so it happens to some families. Explosion can even come early. You know, Pastor, one of the doctors here told me something of a patient I came to see when the woman, you know, she had this, and he said that the husband, very handsome, wonderful guy, he would sit by her. Something was coming from within her, and her anus will come out, that the man will be using hand to push it in. That's a terrible disease. And he was never ashamed. And the hospital will come around, he will sit down with her, and they seem to be very happy together except for that birth. I've heard of people who have been sick for months, paralysis and the rest, and their husbands are with them. But we have healing in Christ. So I might not talk much about that, but it's the reality of some people. Accident claiming people's life or rendering them paralyzed. And it happens. So that is one of the levels which I would not want to dwell on today much. But after these first four, or the first three, the fourth and the fifth are almost easy. Cooperation and reunion. Reunion, at a point, all your children will go. It is what has taken place at this level of reality and the rebellious stage that will determine how other things will be. If you pass this stage, other stages are easy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? So, what we really want to do now is this. At this stage, what do we do? If after passion, you are beginning to discover that there is a world of difference between you and your partner. When you begin to see traits that you don't like, when you begin to see patterns that you are not comfortable with, when you begin to discover that, okay, the direction he wants to go, in some cases, this rebellious thought has to do with what you acquire. The man might say that I'm going to get a car. And the wife knows that after getting that car, we begin to scrabble for money. And that this has happened before. Every now and then, any little income, it thinks of something that I don't want to think of. And once it buys that thing, we are in trouble financially for the next 2 years. I've met a woman who told me about the husband's bad spending habit. And I met a man before, so he told me about the wife. That don't leave anything with my wife. She will spend it on everything. I met a particular family that I was called to minister to. They were, at that time, they were owing millions. And I met two people like that. In the two cases, you know, in both cases, I looked at the men, the two men involved. No new car, no new shirt, no new shoe, nothing new. I went to their house, nothing new. So I asked the guy, how come you are owing 9 point something million? Owing about 17 different people. And I discovered the wife. In the midst of owing, she carried all their children and went to enjoy abroad. Just after they were talking to me about the case, she still carried 3-4 kids and they went. And when she came back, I was wondering, what is wrong with you? You are owing millions. One of the creditors met me, got my number through meeting me, talking to them. And I was trying to tell the woman, can you pardon? She swore. She told me she swore. He said that, Pastor, my own portion they are owing me is about 400K. He said it's a small money to me, but I will collect. That when people are owing me and they are traveling abroad, and me I don't go abroad. Are they here? Are they suffer? Somebody is owing me and they carry children. He said, me too, I know how to go to America. That is enough for flight ticket. And, you know, I felt for the man. Or the two men. It's painful. Whatever looks like somebody wanting to go in one direction, that is not the plan for the whole family, then there is a problem. Hallelujah. Amen. What do we do? You can write your question. Let's move on. I will end now. That's what I just want to talk about. Amen. Praise the Lord. The only reason that the Bible gives in leaving your parents is conviction. Genesis chapter 2 says, for this cause shall a man, which cause? And this is where we are going. I also stop. For this cause, which cause? Adam looked at the woman and he said, this is the flesh of my flesh and the bone of my bone. She shall be called what? Woman. And the Bible says, for this, Adam was convinced that this is my woman. And then the next verse says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. Meaning that the only reason why we should sign this contract as husband and wife is when you are fully convinced that this is the flesh of my flesh and this is the bone of my bone. I want to explain from Bible perspective. Why is this very important? Because this conviction will drive you, no matter the state that shows up in the marriage, if this conviction is there, settled in your heart, there's no problem about any level. You know what? The Bible says, husband, love your wife. And it talks to that Ephesians 5. It said that as Christ loved the church. And it said, no man hates his own flesh. But he loves it. He cherishes it. Meaning something. Now, bring it back to the Genesis 1. For this cause, said, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And the Bible says, it's on that ground that you can choose a life partner. If you are fully convinced, not on appearance. Appearance can be part of it, but it's a small part. Not on the person's possession. It can be part of it, but a small part. Not under circumstances, but on one condition, that you are fully convinced, you are fully persuaded that this is the flesh of your flesh and the bone of your bone, because of one thing. When you see some diseases on other people, you don't want to touch them. When you see them on your body, you have no choice. Are you with me? So, if you have accepted and you are fully convinced that this is not someone else's bone. It's your bone. It's not someone else's flesh. It's your flesh. No matter what happens, you cannot chop off your hand because something is growing there. You don't peel off your face because you have pimples. You begin to look at the mirror and you begin to treat because you are convinced, this is my hand. It is not someone else's hand, so I cannot cut it off. If you see your husband and your wife as the flesh of your flesh and the bone of your bone, whatever happens, what you want to do is to treat, not to chop off. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Treat. Treat. So, how do we treat? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Look at me, everybody. This is just by the way. So of many of the peaceful marriages are the ones where each party, you have settled, you have accepted the person that you are married to. You might not be satisfied with the behavioral pattern of the person on many things, but you have accepted the person. And it takes a lot of maturity to do that. For instance, your child can come in and smash your new phone to the ground. You are not going to raise descend slaps on him, except you are a wicked parent. You have accepted that it's a small boy. He can come tomorrow and pull the cable of the video down, and the TV can fall down. It will pay you, but the first thing you even check is that, hope you are not injured. Especially if you are an American. you understand? It was one of our friends, a pastor, that told us the people he stayed with, you know, they went to a shopping mall, a large one in America. He just went to America, stayed with this family, and they are Americans and Nigerians who have lived there for a long time. And in that shopping mall, their little child, about three or four, just disappeared, and they were looking for the boy. And it's going to a priest, were helping them to look for, and they were looking for the boy. And eventually, the mother was angry. After they found the boy somewhere, sat with a particular toy and was playing. This guy in his Nigerian mind, his hands were already itching. And he said that the mom just ran and called the boy, Paul, we've been looking for you. And mom just started kissing the boy. He said, that if I was left alone, another day, he would run around something ball again. You know, African parents can look at you and you understand the message. From afar, just a glance. Somebody wants to give you something, I don't want. I don't want. You love the sweet, but you cannot collect. Your mom has looked at you once, meaning that collect and face hell on your way home. And your neighbor is saying, take now, it's a gift to you. And you're like, I don't eat sweet. I don't want. Because you know what we follow? She has just spoken to you with her eyes. Africans are wonderful. No verbal communication. And she doesn't have to look twice. One glance, you understand the message. She can even be talking with her friend. But you dare not. You must not collect. I said, you're like me. I collect her like that. I love that thing. My mom looked at me. I looked at her. I said, break it. But when I finished eating on our way home, she started from the car. My mom could beat them. She'll be driving with one hand. And then there'll be follow-up. You know, an extension from the front. And she won't miss it. And she'll be driving. She'll come and pick us in school there. With that plate ball, the uniform will be dirty. And you will enter the car. And we had housemaid then, but my mom used to wash my own clothes. But she would say that, hey, they'll give me a job to do again. So after a while, we understood. You will sit at the two extremes. You know, they were... The money, you two start improvising. No, lie. And at the point, why the first 5 minutes inside the car, you bury your head. Because some things might be flying. You know, he will start by talking. I don't know what is wrong with you boys. We have, you know, three boys. And all of a sudden, you are just seeing flashes. Bless God for African parents. It's a white man that they will transfer the father. And the junior will be crying, Daddy, you are going away again. When I was very young, it was my prayer that my father and my mother should go away. They should transfer them. They just go so that will be. Because when they were in the house with you, I mean, no free movement, just be careful of everything. My father and my mother, both of them could beat very well. The time they took my father to another station, I was so happy. He used to come home every Friday. Monday was always my happiest day. We escort him to the car, and you are praising God as I'm coming back. You know, for some days you are free. Free to watch TV, free to do everything. Wonderful. Amen. In our generation, hope nobody here is like that. That when you are at home, the lion is back. Your parents are on, children disappear into rooms, and they don't come out again. We grew up like that, and but my parents learned after a while that this doesn't work. I mean, so they just said to themselves that this doesn't work, and then they stopped. My father, the last time he touched me was when I was in primary 6. All through my secondary school, there was never a time. He slapped me once when I was in GSS 1, and I can still remember the slap. Just one touch. But it was powerful. It was kind of slap that you see when you fall down. But then he realized that I said I won't be doing this. So he just walked inside the room, and that's all. So in secondary school, I was never beaten. But in between that primary 3 and primary 6, the amount of beating I received will be more than the entire life beating, as I'm able to say, in 3 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody in church told me of the mom beating their younger one. They beat the person who fainted. She became afraid. She was pouring water. And then the girl came back to life. And the mom continued. When the girl finished, she was afraid. She was calling upon God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And they came in. They were helping. And then she took him and they poured water. So she jumped back and said, hey, okay, you're alive. Let's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say conviction that this is the bone of my bone. It will drive you to one solution. And the first thing that will happen is this. Once you are not feeling fine, or something is happening to a part of you, the first thing that comes from you is compassion towards that part. If this conviction is in you, that this woman by your side is your flesh and your bone, whatever happens to her, the first thing you want to do is to have compassion on her and to want to help her. You are not really, just like you don't blame your flesh for developing a wound. You don't blame your flesh for something coming. Your duty is that this thing has to be healed. Whatever you see that you don't like in your husband and your wife, your first thing you want, the first thing you want to do is to see how to help. And that help can only be done in one. Number one, acceptance. Number two, forgiveness. Number three, healthy communication. Nothing changes a person than when you draw these three things and you point it towards them. Acceptance, forgiveness, and healthy communication. Amen. It is the way God changes all of us from time to time. God accepts you as you are. He forgives you of your sins. And then you begin to study the word and your mind is getting transformed. We must transfer the same thing to experience healing. Honestly speaking, there is no marriage beyond remedy. There is no marriage broken down beyond remedy. It is when we hold on to what has happened in the past. Every time you are talking to people who are about to separate, they hold on to what has happened. And that thing is so huge, the gulf is so deep, and they don't want to let go. But the heart of Christianity is forgiveness. Ability to forgive. And to accept that this is still the flesh of my flesh. People have lived with very terrible people. And we advise a woman to leave her house only if her life is at stake. A woman that stays with a man who wants to kill her, she is stupid. You need your life. You can go first. And then from wherever you are, you can pray for him. You don't have to pray for him with his knife on your neck. Secure yourself first. But if there is no violence towards you, remember the statistics I just read now. We usually think it's going to be better. Yet there are horrible people. But love can change anybody. What many people have discovered is it is after moving 2 or 3 times, they now discovered that something is wrong. You know, my mood doctor and his wife separated. many years ago. Mike Mudd has been a single guy. He's about 60 something. He's been a single man for almost 40 years. That's a remarkable fellow. If you see a billionaire that has not married for 40 something years and not a single scandal with any other woman, that is serious. And he told somebody that sometimes when he's outside and somebody gives him just a simple hug, he begins to cry. That I missed this for years. The woman left and married next one. I think she has remarried about 4 times now. And now I think she has finally stayed on her own. She has discovered now that, oh, no. See, I want to say this to everybody here. The process that led to you being married to the person you are married to might be faulty. But somehow, God is in it. Believe me sincerely. If you are married here, there might be many things wrong with what led to your marriage. But God is still in it. Once you are joined together, God is committed to that marriage. And then what He expects you to do is to sit back and begin to work on how do we work this out. Not begin to think of how do I move away and have my peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember where we started from. A good knowledge of the person you are married to. How much of this person is still attached to background and different things? Though we are all in church, there have been many people in church that what is controlling them is not exactly the Bible. The culture, sentiment of the past, and different things. And people start discovering this when they are married. I have sat down with men who have just discovered that their wife is as competitive as, that even in church she talks about everybody and she wants a better placement than everybody. And this thing can really grieve you if you are a gentleman, a perfect gentleman, and you are wondering, why do you always talk about that? Why do you want to see yourself better than other people? I have spoken with men. The wife wants anything she sees her friends with. She must trouble the guy to get it for her or get something better. That can be a problem. But what we should be concerned about is, if you find this straight, how do you heal and help this person? And that's what I have said. Acceptance, forgiveness, and healthy communication from time to time. In God's own wisdom, marriage is supposed to be, your personality is supposed to influence and shape your partner. And something from your partner also should come into your life and shape. When selfishness is the order of the day, you block what is coming from him, you believe that he should only accept what is coming from you. And then vice versa. And that is where people have serious issues. There are simple men whose wives are very strict. In God's wisdom, part of the plan is that you are too loose. For the sake of your destiny, it's giving you a woman that is very blunt. But she too, she's too blunt. There is need for a blend to make the marriage perfect. And that is what God is interested in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you heard me today? If we want to break down what I've said so far, then I will start talking about praying together. I will start talking about sitting down together, looking at issues together. But I cannot break them down to things. But so just take it the way it is. But you must know who you are dealing with. Why? So you must understand. Why are you married to the person, and why he or she, why is he married to you? Why is she married to me? It's important to know. By first of all asking the question, who am I married to? What have you noticed so far about your wife and about your husband? If I'm married to you because of your physical appearance, from what I've said so far now, you know that when you get to reality state, there's no problem. If I'm married to you because of possession, when you get to rebellious state, there's going to be a problem. We go different ways. Amen. If it's circumstances, reality state also, there will be a problem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We will talk to singles about making choices. But if you are listening to me, maybe on radio or whatever, and You made your choices based on, not on conviction at all. And the question is, okay, so Pastor, I have made a choice. Maybe you saw a very wonderful job and that attracted you. Once he loses the job, you are going to be in problem. But because you are married now and you are in Christ, you can adjust your thinking. Love is powerful. Just go by the way of love. Believe that you are married. Yes, you had an ulterior motive in making your decision, or you got it all wrong from the beginning. Circumstances led you to this guy. You were rushing. Maybe you were 38, 39, 40, and then you're like, okay, and then somebody shows up, and now you are beginning to know that you are not on the same page at all. You are listening to me. Somehow you predicted the girl, and then you felt that the next thing you must marry her, and all those circumstances. She's charismatic. She has serious charisma. She's beautiful. And then she's possessing something that you like. That's why. But it's not your solid conviction that this is the flesh of your flesh. Some even marry so that the person can get them. I was talking to a woman that the husband just sent packing, and then she said to me, the husband was talking and he was saying, this guy said it out. A member of the girl's family is a senator. And she said that after all the marriage, said, we didn't see any contracts. Get out! Another elderly woman went there and was talking to the woman and said the same thing. That one of the reasons why he married her, because of her uncle, a senator. And truly, she is quite close to the uncle. In fact, the day he sent out, the senator drove by himself to come and pick the lady. And the guy was like, so what has happened? Senator didn't make contract, he didn't personalize. The guy is a businessman, nothing happened. He made his choice. The girl did not know. But now, of course, they separated for a long time now. As you saw the lady recently, she was talking to, now she knows that this guy never loved me. And that is a big question, that when people get to know that the other person does not exactly love you, the person is only using you to achieve something, what do you do? It will break your heart. It will pain anybody to find out that the person you think you are living with does not exactly love, but there is something. She loved someone else, or she would have loved to be with somebody. It's still the same thing. Acceptance, forgiveness, and love. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to stop here for a while. Please write your questions. I want to answer questions. I've spoken for about 1 hour. If you have a question, you can raise your hand. If you don't want to raise, write it in a paper. I'll take it. It's a question time. I say some important things. I want to hear from everybody. You can give papers to those who... Let me see your hand. Or anybody that will bring the mic to you. Can you raise your hand? You want to ask a question? Amen. Remember, we just ended it on acceptance, forgiveness, and healthy communication. Those three words came to me. It will heal anything if these things are in place. Another time, for some reason, I don't want to go fully into them. Another time we might. But everybody listen to me. Healthy communication. Healthy communication. All women here, the way you talk about things can actually affect what exactly you are talking about. How you talk about things is extremely important. How do you talk about what you are not satisfied with? And for men, the same thing. How do you address issues? How do you communicate? You can get anybody to see from your own perspective. If you have mastered communication, honestly speaking, the one that you are married to once loved you, even if he doesn't again. That love is still there, just covered by many things. Just always remember that once you know how to order your conversation around, arise, you will not have problem much in marriage. You will be able to get the other person to see whatever you want the person to see. But once you don't know how to communicate, you speak in anger, you speak anyhow, thinking that the harder the words are, the more it will get the person is zero. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody intending to marry should first of all go and learn the art of communicating effectively, in love and in patience. A man is not going to listen to you because you are saying something, you are saying them fast. You know, and you think that the faster you are talking, the more he will listen. It doesn't work. Or you think when you raise your voice higher, and when that one is not working, you start abusing. You feel like if you call him names, then his sense will correct. Only that it does not work. A man should never use words that will make your wife to regret ever being married to you. Do not use your, don't just let it come from within and go out like that. Honestly, I try to tell them in church this morning that all the singles should come as well. But I wish they, because I said that the topic will be so that they can learn also. Not only for married people. It's okay, we do their own another time. This is important. Amen. Yeah, okay. Good day, sir. What is the essence of the wedding ring in marriage? And secondly, we can't see your wedding ring, sir. It could mislead somebody. How is coming from a man? I hosted Dr. Panam Pastor Paul in Abeokuta 2 years ago. Many of you remember. And in a concert in Abeokuta. So while praying and praying for the message, I don't know, I wanted to have my bath, so I put the ring on the table. Then I forgot. I've not been wearing it for 2 years. I forgot the ring when I was going to the hall. And then I came back. Somebody came to clean the room and I didn't see the ring again. So since that time. And then, but the major reason I have not replaced this is that it doesn't change anything. I also know of my agent, housing agent, talking. He was with his ring. He is calling a girl. I have seen a lady who told me that I prefer married men. She said married men are more rich stable. They are gentle. He said they have learned how to take care of family so they don't play around. He said I don't sleep with young guys. He said young guys are rough, mean. They will use and say, but married men have hearts. Somehow they are used to family. He said so they don't treat you anyhow. She told me that. When she told me that, the desire for a ring died. Ring doesn't change anything. Amen. So that's my answer. If anybody is misled because I'm not wearing a ring, God have mercy on their soul. Amen. No, that's the truth. Really, I've not been wearing it for 2 years. And what should a man do if the parents disagree with the marriage? The marriage is split between himself and his parents. If he's convinced it is God's will, he should try his best to talk with them. I usually get very careful here, but I know a lot. I know some people. This one Muslim Christian. The parents said no, hell no. But after some years of marriage, the mother was the first to come to their house after a while. Then the father also. They are married with kids now. And they are at peace with their parents. Everything is fine. They knew they were supposed to. They tried for almost a year to get the consent of their parents. The parents said no. When one parent, Elijah, said no, we cannot let our daughter marry a Christian. And then they dragged the whole issue. But they went ahead and got married. And I actually have a cousin that the same thing happened to. The father for some reason said I should not marry the guy. But now they are married now, and the father is happy with the two. They go visiting them now and everything. So, but try your best to secure peace first. Is it wrong for a woman to stand by a man who is not financially okay at the moment, but has prospects? It's good now. Just be sure that the prospect is prospect. It's wonderful. It's good. The fear some women usually people have is the fact that it's possible for him to get money now and now leave her alone. That is why this question is very important. Why did you marry me? Why are you planning to marry the man? You see, that you are helping somebody to stabilize does not mean you automatically marry the person. Learn to sow seed without expecting anything in return. You can help a woman and help a man. You can be his friend or her friend and help her in a moment of need without becoming entitled and now saying that you have to marry me because I have done this. So learn to do good and let it go. It's possible. A woman can be from a wealthy family, can help her friend who is a guy, who is from a very poor home, and might not marry him. It doesn't mean she should marry. You can help him to rise, can even become great right before your presence. And you might not sexual, you might not just be like, in terms of marriage, no. And then leave it that way. It's possible. Amen. What can a wife do if she has a husband that always follows his parents' wishes and is against the marriage? E.g., if there is no food at home and he prefers to buy for his parents first and doesn't care about his wife and children. A lot of African men do that. Some people have been trained to think that my parents first. The Bible teaches clearly that you should love your parents. Love them so much. But you see, in the Bible order, it is your wife. As a matter of fact, the commandment is for men. Bible says, for this cause, Bible is silent about women. It says, for this cause, shall who? A man leave what? You need help not to understand it. It's a direct statement. For this cause shall a man leave his father. It's the man that should leave. I said the Bible actually understood then that some men will not want to leave. Some men don't leave. They carry father and mother and bring them here. I have seen how parents will enter a matrimony and be ordering the wife around. It's parents who are honorable will not do that. I bless God for my parents. They won't do that. If my parents want to pay us a visit in Lagos, they will call my wife. I want to come around and maybe 2-3 hours. They live in Abeokuta and they go. If they want to come, they come. Why she put to bed and my mom came? My mom is the type that she sits here. If the TV is all fine, mommy will never touch your TV to put it on. And mommy will never change any channel you put your TV. And she retired as a top shot in High Court of Justice of Ogun State. She won't. She will ask my wife, what do you want to cook? Can I help you? She will not say, go and cook this for me. We are three guys and all of us are married and she has stayed with, ask my wife, she's here, ask my brothers, my two brothers, their wives, ask them, your mom or our mom, we should come. All of them will say, my mom. We've done that before. All of them. My brother's wife told his mom one day, mommy, mommy, my man, Lord, let my husband's man come. Not that she had problems. The mom did well. She was just saying that, that's it. Very, very, she will wake up and be asking her, what can we do this morning? And my mom is almost 70. But it bothers me the way some people do. Just enter both house because it's your son. And so what? Go and bring. It's you, the husband, allowing it. You are not going to get it, but letting her mommy know, no. See, talk to me. And just let it be. There should be respect for people's home. Somebody was telling me that the guy's mom, at any given, she will just come, she will open their gate and come in. Go and make a bath for me. And then she will sit down. And she will start complaining about everything. She was talking about the furniture in the house. Why did you buy this? You should be saving money to buy land now. You know, some do that. Now, it pains a woman when the mother is living with them and this is going on every day. That's why I usually tell people that it's better that, see, as a man, you honor your family, place them high. And one of the ways of doing that is that don't let them come and live with you. So that there is no room for protect your mother and protect your wife. So separate things. You understand? That's the way it should be. Separate things. In our growing up days, we'll go to our father, from my mother's family. Very educated, very wonderful. My father's family, just him and the sister, really went to school and everything. So, I remember that in those days, we now go to our grandma's. Grandma's from mommy's side, you go there, you enjoy yourself. But from daddy's side, you go there, and my mom will now come. And some of those girls in it's like a very old house. The girls will sit down in the chair and be watching films, and my mom will be at the kitchen or by the firewood outside cooking. Because, I don't know, I was about 7 years old then. It was already annoying me as young as I was. I'll go outside and I'll just be angry. I mean, what is wrong with these girls? She should cook. Somebody that you'll be answering mad to in the office because she's married to your brother. And so what? But my mom went through all that peacefully, because she just didn't want problem. But it is wrong. So, we should tell African men to stop that. Put an end to it. Praise the Lord. Mothers are still okay. Even there are some, the younger brother of the husband. You know, in this Yoruba culture, you call him Boda. Nonsense. Somebody that you are 4 years older than. And it will now come as Boda. And be directed at affairs of the house. There was one that came to me when we were at Blue Pier here. The guy thought it was, for about 5 minutes, I couldn't correct him because I saw that he was ignorantly, how do I put it? He thought he was right. He just came. And he said, I'm saying, and the brother, this is very close. Now the wife has come. And he said, Pastor, can you imagine that he finished eating? He dropped the plate. Later, the wife told him that he should have washed the plate. Ah. I'm looking at the guy. So, you came to live with them. You finish eating and put the plate in the kitchen for the wife to go and wash for you. And you are younger than both of them. He said that the outside said he wanted to talk to his brother. And the two of them sat at the sitting room. And he expected the wife to go inside the room. It took her time to go. He was just... I said, this guy should be taught marriage. Your brother is now married. For this cause, shall your brother leave you and cleave to his wife. A good man, please understand me, we treasure his family. But for this, it's better you separate this. It's better. That's why it's good for people not to come and stay with you. If they are coming to visit, they are coming to visit, fine. But tell them that, see, the more you honor my wife, she too will honor you. And it's better. That way. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if your man doesn't care, he gives everything to his family, that is very wrong. The Bible says that if a man does not provide for his own household, he is worse than what? That is Bible, not me. So the Bible must be obeyed. Amen. Let's read on. Do I have more questions? Praise the Lord. Okay, man. Mike. Who has the mic? Josh. Somebody is raising our hand here. Just make it brief, man. What's the question?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a short story because that's why I couldn't write it down. But I'll make it shorter. Okay. There's this couple. They've been married for... According to her, the marriage lasted for only 2 weeks. But she continued in the marriage for another 5 years. After the 5 years, they had to, because the trouble was so much, so they had to leave each other. But she was the one that was first in the marriage for that 5 years. The man was about 20 years older than the lady. Afterwards, after they separated, I think a couple of years, she still stood still and said, "You're my husband, I'm not going to leave you. Whether the devil likes it or not, I'm still going to continue with you." But the man was like, he loves his family so very much. They have a younger brother that is cuckoo upstairs, if you know what I mean. He's sick upstairs and he was living with them. The problem was from there. A lot of things happened. But after 3 years, they lived separately for over 3 years. So they now came together to one of the uncle's house. And the man now said to the lady, while they came there for a meeting, and said, "Please, uncle, tell this lady to look for another husband. I learned she's been waiting for me for these years. Tell her not to waste her time over me anymore. She should go ahead and get married to somebody much, much younger than I do." The moment the lady said that, she said it was like a burden that left her heart. She said people that were coming for her then to be with blah, 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 that she's been turning down. She now gave the person an opportunity for the first time. They make out. Before that time, she said she's not going to allow any man touch her body because that body is meant for you. But the moment the man said, "Please," I said, "I don't want." And she felt, "Oh, I'm still young." And the moment she gave herself out, she said, "This body will not come back to you, no matter what happens." So 4 years after that time, the man came back.
Wow.
And she said, "This body has been enjoyed by another man. I can't bring it back to you. Forget it. You can't even get it anymore. I can only give this body back to you if you've turned vegetables and I've turned vegetables. That means we cannot make love anymore. In this case, what can the family, because it's the family of the husband now that is trying to make them come together. And remember, the man is 20 years older than the ladies. The man is about 65 now, and the woman is about 45.
Is she still married now, the woman, to the next, the second person?
She, not really.
She didn't marry the person?
But she said she is never going to go back to the man, because the man Azala actually has car on his own free will to go outside, which she has done.
Okay.
And she would not feel comfortable bringing that body back to him.
Okay.
So in this case, what can be done in this scenario?
It's very simple now. He has said that she should go away. So the Bible is very clear about this. The Bible says that if any party, Paul was writing when he was talking about marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it was, he said that, and in 19:7-8, I said, if anyone wishes to depart, the sister or the brother is not under the law in that case. So the Bible gives room, because you cannot force yourself on somebody. If after much outdo and the rest, a man says to the woman, I don't want you again, and he's even saying it in the presence of a family member, that it is over, it is over. Now, everybody in the body of Christ, everybody agrees on that one. Where the debate is in the body of Christ, that can she remarry or not? There is, the divorce is not the issue, it's biblical. Paul said you can go. But what people are saying is that after he goes, what happens next? Can she marry? So that's where churches have divergent opinions. But if somebody says that it is over, that I want to leave you, it is part of peace to let the person go. So in this our own case, let me tell you what we have. If she goes back to that man, the man will repeat the cycle again. It is better for some people to be left alone. And the Spirit has used him to say she should go away. It's over. If you go and look for the kind of woman that way, in our own case, moving out, now I don't know the state she is with the new guy, really, but it would have been better if they had a real marriage, not just a relationship in that sense. But as per the two of them, the man and the woman, he has told her to go. Yes, I've come and yes, I've gone, and he cannot. It doesn't matter. They have kids. That doesn't matter. I'm bringing in the word of God here, that the Bible says, he was talking about a Christian being married to a non-believer. And I think it actually applies to also a woman of law being married to an irrational man. It applies. So if the man says, I'm leaving, or leave, she should leave. Really. Amen. I actually have a friend whose mother, the father, is trying to get her to come back now. She said, no way. Because she became a Christian, the man told her to leave the house. And she has been a single woman for about 25 years now. And she has been blessed immeasurably by God. The last time I saw her, she was buying a bus for her church and everything. She's been blessed by God. Now, the last born is working an oil company now. All the three, that was the one she was pregnant when the man told her to leave. And the marriage ended. So, but she decided on her own not to remarry. But as for going back to that man, no. The man tried to reach out to her later, and she just said, no. So, that's it. Some people, at times, forgiving people does not mean you go back to them. If I put my money and you steal it, I can forgive you for stealing the money, but I'll be stupid to put the money back there again. You understand? So, that is it. It doesn't mean I've not forgiven you, but I'm not going to put that money there again. So, it's important. If you give your car to your neighbor and he drives to go and bash your car, you can forgive him and not even report it to anybody. But another day, you might not want to give him your car again until you are sure that he won't bash it again. If you give him and he bashes it, even angels will tell you that what happened to you. Are you with me? So, that's it. Amen. It has always been that some men are in the habit of wasting people's time. When we're in school, this guy will start with this girl, they will break up. It will start, they will break up. And I told the girl that, go look for a man who loves you. This make and break will continue. He held her for over 5 years. Back, like lawn tennis, we play table tennis, but like that, all through. And
You know, people should learn to be decisive, learn to take decision on time. That's the sad truth. Some people are just wasted. I've seen ladies do. The day the girl came back was the day this guy found another lady. He was asking out for a long time. They were very close. She would come around. They would eat together. She would do everything. He even started passing and she was supporting him and everything. But will you marry me? No. For just no reason. And at times she would. Now the guy will not be getting close to another lady. Then this girl will come in and get close to him again. Then the guy will break with this one. Because this is his relapse. And then she will start again. Close, far, close, like. And I told her, boy, you better move on. So finally, he met this beautiful lady. And they were on their way to the altar. They had printed out IV. And this girl came. She spoke to me that now she has heard from God. She's sure now that she should marry the guy. I feel like giving her a knock on her head. The God that did not speak for 5 years should not speak again. Don't. If the guy should leave that girl, they should start again. She will break up again. That's the way some people are. They are just time wasters. Amen. Sorry. Let's go on. If you have a question, can raise your hand. Any question again? Yes. Or do we have any written one again? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we step into 2016, make sure marriage does not have to be something hard, something awful. If you are not married there, make your choices wisely. Please, choose rightly. If you are married, let peace reign. Follow what I have said just now. Let peace reign. Acceptance, forgiveness, healthy communication. Avoid talking to people when you are angry. Talk when you are both laughing about important things of the family. Talk about your goals and your plans. Even though everything is peaceful, begin to mention what you plan to do. It's very, very important. You don't have to. If it's better you don't say things when you are angry. Okay, I'm not going to do this again. It makes other person to want to be defensive. But when you are communicating, communicate peacefully. If we can make up our mind that you are not in commission with the person you are married to, I know that everything I have said will work better when the two parties involved are willing to do their part. It is more difficult when somebody is doing their best and the other person is doing his or her best to frustrate the person that is trying. It can be very painful. When only one person is trying to forgive, to work in love, to make, and the other person just misbehaves, but your attention should not be on the other person. Focus on yourself and Jesus. Make up your mind that you do the right thing at all times. Praise the Lord. When people don't prepare for all these things, when they don't ask these questions I have asked, and they don't train themselves to think about this way, they find themselves in, many of you have heard, you've seen great people, you've seen intelligent people, missing the area of marriage. I saw many professors when we were in UI, and their children are turning to, they are just over. I was talking to one day, father popular professor, and they are like, even the top professors who have won Nobel Prizes in all over the world, some of them that you know in Nigeria, they are on the third wife, on the fourth wife, and you know the names I'm talking about, you know how, and it grieves you to see all these things. Now, when it comes to the arena of Christians, it becomes more painful because we are supposed to know. If we start breaking up and we start sending ourselves out and all those things, where is the love of Christ that we preach? And what is the testimony of our Christianity? Because the heart of Christians, the cross is forgiveness. And if we cannot, but we take law against ourselves, what is the gospel that we are preaching? Amen. Praise the Lord. Your wife can be your best friend. Your home can be an habitation of peace. There can be absolute love, respect, and love. One of the rules, I said acceptance. Do not try to convert the person you are married to yourself. She will never be you, you will never be her. Acceptance is what works. I've accepted it the way you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you are in a relationship and you find out that the man is cheating on you for the first time, should you forgive him? He apologizes and swears never to cheat again. The choice is yours. The Bible is silent about relationship. You can forgive him, but that does not mean relationship should go on. And you can forgive my relationship should go on. Anyone is your choice. You are never wrong against God walking away from relationship. It is marriage that the Bible talks about. So relationship is free. You have not been joined. Your dowry has not been paid, and you have not eaten cake. So you are still free to move. Amen. So it depends on you. Go back to our message when I talked about romance versus reality. Situations are never the same. I think I started on that note. There are some people who have made a mistake, they repented, and they are doing fine now. But some men, cheating on you in some cases, for some, they should be forgiven and it will, things will be better. For some other people, it's a big sign that the guy will continue that. What now will pay you is that you've seen some traits and some little, some flashes during courtship, and you have decided to go on. When you are married and the thing continues, you blame yourself forever. That you should have stopped when you had the opportunity to, because you saw this thing there. It's important. Amen. It can be very, very painful. When you have the chance to stop something, you refuse to stop, and that has become an eternal yoke that you are married together and you can't stop again. And then it's now doing it. Amen. Why should a guy be dating somebody and is already cheating on the person? Why do people cheat? It's a topic for another day. Amen. Hallelujah. Any other one before we close? Yes, ma'am. If I had the mic. Please, if you have questions, answer. I just want to take 10 more minutes. If you have questions, you can ask, please. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, the mic there is on. Okay.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
You talked about healthy communication earlier. I just want you to speak a little more about that. How exactly do you engage in healthy communication? Because I notice there are times that you are trying to, sincerely from the bottom of your heart, you mean something very simple. You are actually trying to communicate as plainly as you are saying it, but it's not heard as it's being said. How do you engage in healthy communication?
It's true. That's very common, actually, that people perceive wrongly what somebody is trying to say. It all begins with, I will start normally, we pray before you speak. We are spirit beings. We can't separate that from what we do. We pray in the spirit before you speak. Secondly, you must let the person understand. If you have not yet assured, if you have not yet gotten the person to the point of knowing that you so much love him or her, and that the purpose of what you are talking about is for the benefit of the two of you, it might be the same. People receive. Now, in church, I speak to some ladies, they easily receive and they're happy. But some might not do that to their husband. Now, at times, it is not what is being said, it is the perception behind what is being said. A man can look at a woman and think that you are trying to bring back some old issues, or you are trying to dominate the house, or you are trying to give a direction to the family. That's why you are suggesting this. And based on that, even though your points are very valid, it can actually reject everything you are saying. It begins with rebuilding trust and love. People will always almost always want to assimilate and accept what you are saying if they perceive that you love them and it's coming from the heart of love, really. The guy that was always writing speech for President Bush once said that they called him an excellent man in communication, and he said that not necessarily so. That he has found that in communication, likability is the number one thing. When the audience like you, your point will sell more. And it is true. It's one of the key laws in communication. He said when people come out and they want to debate, actually, it is personality clash. When people are into you, what you are saying will be amplified in their ears. When people don't like you, they were talking about Governor Fashola and what he said when he was standing before Senate. Nothing special, actually. He is loved by the people. And anytime he says something, they start applauding him. And it works like that. It's very true. He's a man that has the goodwill of many people. And normally, when you are like that, when you talk, even when you give a simple speech, everybody will attach so much to it. And if people don't like you, you can speak so much like Honorable Patrick. Everybody will say they get what you are saying. Amen. It begins. So, how do you have an healthy conversation? Conversation is the last thing. How to ask connect is the first thing, which happens by prayer. That verbal thing is what comes last. No, the Bible says that when Peter was talking about it, he said, wife, that if you have an unbelieving husband, he said, without conversation, with your good conduct, you can win your husband. So you can actually equate that to what we are talking about here. how I've been acting all day long in the house. How I have made, what have, how have I made my husband to think? What does he think of me? What have I been able to successfully pass across? What kind of wife does he think? Let me give you an example. If on three occasions you suggest something about money, for instance, thank God your husband is beside you. I hope this will happen. We give him an idea and 50 million comes in. And then you say, let's do it this way. 50 million comes in again. Let's do it this way. $1 million. Let's do it this way. $5 million. Do you think the sister, when you say, well, let's do it this way, what will he say? He will tell you it's done already that way. Why? Trust has been built over time. So that's it. From act to act, my conduct in the house over the time before I say something. So saying it is just the climax of it. He must have perceived me as a wife that he must listen to before I actually venture into saying something. Pray together always, and then show him your love at all times. He will always listen. Praise the Lord. Rasukomi is looking down. Amen. Okay. Yes. I want to take two more before we go. So many couples in church are not here. Okay. Unless if I had my way, I would have avoided December. I know December, no fuel. I know that holiday time and everything, sincerely. But I'm asking under an instruction. I have no choice. I can count over 50 couples in the church that are not here. And I'm wondering why. At least, no, yeah, no card. But we announced to everybody now. We said we will do this. Yes? Please, ask questions before we close. I still have 5 moments. I just want to hear from people. When people ask questions, you're able to answer directly. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate my friends, Pastor Harrison and his dear wife. Let's put our hands together for them. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. Amen. I live with an uncle whose wife was very lazy. She allows the house girl to do everything. Even when the soup is finished, the wife does not know, and the man is very unhappy. It's uncle's wife. If you have a relationship with her, it's not that it might cost you your bed in the house, but she might ask you to get out. But if you have a very good relationship with her, you might tell her, my auntie, you are lazy. You know, if you have a good relationship with her, just find a way. Maybe you can devise a method whereby you work together. Actually, it is hard to say. You are not her husband. Now, the first question, your husband said the husband is very, very angry. If he's very angry, let him tell her. Let it come from the husband. Honestly, if you are living with them, it is none of your business. The only thing you can do is to pray. Because if you tell the man, it will look like you are creating trouble between two people. Now, if the man is talking to you, I'm going to advise you here. If the man is telling you that my wife is lazy and everything, and you are the one he's complaining to, still don't say anything. And you know what? Don't even say anything to the man. Don't just say, it's true. Even me, the way I see her, I start dropping. Like, she's as lazy as... Don't do that. Just do as if it is none of your business. The best you can say that uncle, she's your wife. Maybe you should talk about it. That's all you can say. Because remember, to a man or a woman, when they are fighting, what to suggest later will be a discussion between the two of them. And they will now be looking at you one kind. Husband and wife can suddenly become mafias overnight. And your issues are brought up. So, once one is talking to be referring the person back to the other one, that, sir, maybe you should talk to her about it, that it's your wife, you can talk about it. You can only pray about them. Do not say or pray for them. Do not say anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just pray that you don't marry a lazy wife. That's all. There's nothing you can do about it. There is nothing you can do about it. I know the person that wrote this question lives with them. Maybe she has stabbed you many times. Or you're getting of no food and everything. Now, are you sure it's the uncle that is angry, or you are the one that is angry? Praise the Lord. Remember the story I told you a while ago? I said it to the singles. They separated now. I think they went to the same school, maybe University of Agriculture or so. The guy and the lady. By the time they wanted to get married, very simple, I said it one time, and the girl just said, "You tell the guy that I don't cook. And that was the end of it like that. And they got married. He's a medical doctor, the guy. And he never told her to cook for him. He was just a very faithful guy. Actually, anything is possible. Then the guy came home one day. He was writing some of these medical exams. And he was working in the hospital at the same time. So he came home and he sat down. And he just told the house girl, "Go and do this. I'm going back to the hospital that I want to read all night. I just came home to eat." And he was working on his laptop. And then the housemaid went out. And then he told the wife that, "She has cooked, Abby. Can you just help me serve the food?" She sat down there watching some of these soap opera. You know, "Where You Are Mine." I think I spoke about that in the morning. Paloma, or Second Chance, or Third Chance, or which one? They were watching. And she just said to the guy that, "I told you now that I don't go to kitchen." You know, at that time, the guy first thought it was a joke. Then now, so he put his laptop down. He asked her a very straight question. "Sorry, I don't cook. It's different from, I can never cook for you. That in all fairness, when we're dating, you say you don't go to kitchen, you don't do that. I'm okay with it." He said, "But this once, just to serve, that is what, are you saying, even if I'm dying and there's nobody that you can never enter kitchen for me, or you don't normally go?" He said, "You don't normally go, I accept, but that you can never, I cannot." And she said, "That is the second one. I can never cook for you." And the guy looked at her and said, "You know what? This marriage ends now." And that night, he didn't go back to read. He drove to his mother, to her mother's house, and was talking to the mom about what happened. And the mom said, "It's soon as maybe she told you that she does not enter the kitchen." Now, honestly, did she tell him? Yes. Love covered his eyes. When they were dating, should have asked her, "Sorry, oh dear, you don't, or you can never." There are two things. They would have settled it well. Amen. Are you with me? I want to say this painfully. Statistically, women are more unhappy than men. Remember what I said a lot. I usually tell you, from experience, for most medical schools, at least the one I saw in UI, by the time they are writing the final year exam, 600 level medicine, they usually have ladies as best students. 15 years after, they don't always have ladies as the best doctors in town. It is always marriage. Pastor Dr. Ebele, even in certain UCH, it was a woman that was the best, don't he? I saw her when I went to UK. She's one of the people I always see when I go around to London. I know she's one of the most brilliant person that I've seen in my life. I told you 9A1s in secondary school and everything. But what happens to those women? My department school, a lady was the best student. And the main departments like that. But what happens to them after they step out? Because statistically, that is the reason for many diseases. And some women having depression, then many women are not happy. And you know the sad thing, even in the church, the moment we are not objective in how we talk about this, we can cover it up under some spiritual facade and say that, you see, it just a. But if they ask women to really, really raise their hand and talk, I say this with all sadness. How many pastors' wives have spoken to me, and they will break down in tears right before you? And you wonder what is going on. That why? Why should we make? It doesn't make only men guilty. Some women also do. But that is the more reason why we need to be very objective about this and understand. But there is one law that summarizes it all. If we are willing to walk in love, the love, ability to forgive. I will never forget this story. And I'll close with that. Two people that the guy was almost excommunicated from church. And then later I decided not to come to church again. They called him and they were lashing him and they were saying things about him and he just didn't say anything. Because the wife came to church and reported him to everybody that this guy said a lot of things about him and then the pastor did not even wait for the guy to talk. That's rule number one. When people talk to you, wait till you hear from another person, no matter what. So the pastor got angry, they called the guy, they even made it a little known in church, said a lot and the guy stopped coming to church. Some of his friends decided in church to go and see him and told that this guy is not like this. So they go to his house. And so I decided not to go to church again anyway. That for a while he didn't want to talk, but they begged and said, "What really happened?" And they said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you what exactly happened. That my wife, lie to all of you. I was coming back from work, and I got to the house, and I saw her having sex with a man in the house. He said, I just went to the next room, and I went to lie down. And like, you didn't say anything? He said, no. I said, why? Did you feel bad? He said, no. That I felt a little bad, but I just let it go. And he said, why? He said, well, we were both chronic unbelievers before we started coming to this church. He said, we used to do that. That I started carrying girls, and she just started doing her own. And we didn't say, you know, 50-50. I always like when people balance up things like that. You know, right? You know, then you do your own, I do mine, and nothing, nobody is angry. He said, so, in those days, he might go with other women for 3 days and come back home and see a man with his wife. I would just go to the room. That he said he didn't even desire her for anything again, so he did not bother himself. He said, so they were used to that already. He said, when they got born again, he felt that the way he has changed, she has changed also. But he didn't know that she has not exactly changed. So, they were in church. She was actually a deaconess by that time. They were already doing fine in the house of God. But the woman was still once in a while going behind it to do that. But the guy had stopped complaining. So when the guy got home that day and he saw them, he said, what are they together? He said, but he quickly told himself that, well, we are different. Salvation has had more impact on me than her. That I believe that with time she will get to my level. What a man. He said, I just went to the man and said that, I cannot hold. He said, I also said to myself that, anyway, I've seen this many times. So what difference does an additional one make? He said, but when the wife got up, she thought that the guy was going to report him in church. And because of her reputation as a deaconess, she went ahead to the church and blackmailed the guy so that the guy would not have mouth to talk again. And all the pastors fell for it. They called the guy, started saying things, and then they told him that you are suspended and everything. And you know what? The friends went back to the pastor and they called the wife and they asked her a question. In under a very terrible voice, madam, you are cursed if you lie. Is it true that this is what happened? And she said, yes, sir. Really? You did this and you came to say this about this man? She said, yes. So the old pastoral team went to the house and the guy just said, no. It's over. That later it was going to another church, but that church, no. That you lost it. That Jesus said that you must listen to everybody before you take your decision. Now that's a solid man willing to forgive. Do you know that in Africa, women are easily also forgive a man sleeping around. But with men, forgive their wives if she starts sleeping around. The culture will tell you, even parents will come and start, some will even start using bold face. And what has he done that nobody has done before? Are you going to mess up this marriage? Because, okay, yeah, yeah, stop, then forgive him and let the marriage continue. It's as if people allow men to do what they want to do. Say that, but when they come home and the man says that, I met my wife with her. You know, if the woman goes to say that, I met my husband with another woman, I remember that it's not exactly a big deal in Africa. Yeah, they might rebook the man that you don't do that, sorry, but they just let it go. But the man goes to say that, I met my wife with another man, righteousness will flow. People just become righteous. You mean, who? And if he says, I'm sending that away on those, you know, everybody will agree to it. That was what the Pharisees did. They said they caught a woman in the act of adultery. In the very act. If you check, that's how they put it in the Bible. But they brought the woman alone to be stoned. Where was the man? That is how sentimental woman beings can be. They said they caught her doing it rightly. They left the man inside the room and dragged the woman to Jesus to be stoned. Jesus must have looked at their hypocrisy. And just said that, you said you caught her in the very act. And only the woman has seen. Where is the man? You know why? All of them, all those men, they were all doing it. That was why when the real question hit them, if you have no sin, cast the first stone. One look at another. Oh boy. Remember where I saw you yesterday? And they dropped the stone. Some of them had met in process. I said, you know, I know you. We know where we meet. I know your girlfriend. You just dropped the stone. And all of them, that means there was none of them without a personal sin. Yet they wanted to judge someone else. Intercession is powerful. It helps. Begin everything by praying. That is what will give us what we want. Have you been blessed tonight? Shall we rise? Hallelujah. Jesus will give you praise. I just want us to thank God. I just want us to pray. I just want us to thank God. I feel like asking us to pray one prayer tonight. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that I might sift you. He said, but I have prayed for you that thy faith should not fail. We can pray ahead of time. Families might be doing well now. There is a prophetic, there is a way to pray ahead, and it can remove any kind of evil being planned that can be beyond you. So Jesus prayed for Peter before the temptation showed up. So Peter did not fail when the temptation showed up. He fell, but he didn't fail because Jesus prayed for him. If I went on to Peter was angry, he said, if others will, I will not. I have seen men of great integrity who fell unexpectedly. I have seen people who never thought they could do some things and they found themselves doing it. I have seen teachers of relationship making bigger mistakes than others in the day. So at times it's important to lift up only hands and just pray ahead of time. That Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, my path is straight and my future is kept. It's kept. If you could deliver Peter by praying ahead of time, I pray also in the spirit for myself ahead of time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Pray in tongues, pray your understanding. If you are a woman, pray for your family, pray for your husband, pray for everything. Ask the Lord, whatever wants to show up. I listened to one man of God's message and he called it anticipating evil. A very powerful message. You can pray ahead of time. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I send a word ahead of me. Whatsoever that I might be vulnerable to in the days to come, in Jesus' name, take it out of the way. I will live to be a godly man. 40 years from now, good record, great record. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If your spouse is behind, you can hold the person and pray. Pray for your family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Satan will not have you. He will not have this marriage. He will not have this relationship. He will not. This prayer can go a long way. Any strange girl or strange person that should show ahead of time can be taken care of by now, by you pray. As you pray, Lord, on our part, any trap be laid in the name of Jesus, we remove it. Ever before getting there, we send a word that the path is straight. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever bitterness will develop, whatever will come up to try to affect this relationship, we speak in the name of Jesus, it is uprooted even before we get there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. We worship you. Father, thank you for every family represented here, that your peace reigns. Lord, thank you because we apply ourselves to the word, and the word works wonders in our lives. In the name of Jesus. It's a new day for every home here. Thank you for joy unspeakable, full of glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Father. We are overcomers. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
I want to thank all of you.